ABC TV includes among its directors not one, but two, directors of J.P. Morgan Co., Ray Adam, director of Metropolitan Life, Cities Service, Morgan Guaranty Trust and chairman of the $2 billion Enel Industries, a petroleum field service concern, and Frank Carey, chairman of IBM, director of Merck, J.P. Morgan Co., Morgan Guaranty Trust and Merck Drugs. Chairman of ABC is Leonard Goldenson, who is a director of Allied Stores, and the Advertising Council, and Bankers Trust. Other directors are Donald C. Cook, general partner of Lazard Free Rears Banking House, director of General Dynamics, and Amirada Hess, Leon Hess, chairman of Amirada Hess, John T. Connor, of the Goonlope law firm Cravath, Swain and Moore, who was former AST. Secretary of Commerce 1965-67, chairman of Allied Chemical from 1969-79, director Chase Manhattan Bank, General Motors, Warner Lambert, and chairman of J. Henry Schroeder Bank, and Schroeder's Incorporated of London, Jack Hisman, vice chairman of Belden Hemingway, a large goods manufacturer which was founded by Samuel Hausmann of Austria, Thomas M. Musios, chairman of Allied Stores, director of Penn Central and Manufacturers Hanover Trust, one of the Rothschild banks in the United States, George B. Jenkins, chairman of Metropolitan Life, a J.P. Morgan firm, director of Citibank, which has many Rothschild connections, Street Regis Paper, Bethlehem Steel, and W.R. Graysco, Martin J. Schwab, chairman of United Manufacturers, and director of Manufacturers Hanover, a Rothschild bank, Norma T. Pace, who is also director of Sears Roebuck, Sperry, 3M and Vulcan, Alan Greenspan, consultant to the Federal Reserve Board, director of J.P. Morgan, Morgan Guaranty Trust, Hoover Institution, Time and General Foods, H. We also know that he now and has for quite a while, headed the Federal Reserve, Ulrich Haynes Jr., director of the Ford Foundation, Marine Midland Bank, which is owned by the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, Cummins Engine Co., and the Association of Black Ambassadors. Thus we see many J.P. Morgan and Rothschild associations among the directors of ABC, which was recently purchased by Capital Cities Communications Co., whose chairman is Texaco, whose most prominent director is Robert Roussa, senior partner of Brown Brothers Harriman, a firm with close ties to the Bank of England. Roussa headed the Roussa Brain Trust at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which produced Paul Volcker. Roussa and David Rockefeller were credited with selecting Volcker to be chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. John McKinley, chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, and Thomas Aquinas van der Sluis, who is chairman of the electronics firm GTE, and a former Fulbright scholar who is now trustee of the Aspen Institute of Humanistic Studies. Of the three major networks, CBS is the pillar of the establishment. Its financial expansion for years was directed by Brown Brothers Harriman, whose senior partner, Prescott Bush, was a longtime director of CBS. His son, George, later became vice president and president of the U.S. When General Westmoreland sought to recover damages from CBS for a vicious personal assault on his reputation, Westmoreland seemed certain to win a stunning victory, until CBS brought in former CIA officials who testified that Westmoreland's claims had no basis. George Bush was formerly head of the CIA. Westmoreland surrendered, and withdrew his suit. Ted Turner's expressed intention of buying control of CBS was applauded by millions of patriotic Americans, who had endured its vicious assaults on decent Americans with no means of protest. However, Turner's campaign was viewed in London as a direct attack on the power of the Bank of England and its American subsidiary, Brown Brothers Harriman. Turner was finally deterred from his goal by a clever maneuver which diverted him into purchasing MGM United Artists, one of whose directors is Alexander Haig, former white directors, who include the chairman of the Key to Our Monetary Control, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and other directors associated with such Rothschild operations as Kuhn, Loebco, First City Bank Corp. and the Institute of Strategic Studies in London. ABC TV includes among its directors not one, but two, directors of J.P. Morgan Co., Ray Adam, director of Metropolitan Life, Cities Service, Morgan Guarantee Trust and chairman of the $2 billion Enel Industries, a petroleum field service concern, and Frank Carey, chairman of IBM, director of Merck, J.P. Morgan Co., Morgan Guarantee Trust and Merck Drugs. Chairman of ABC is Leonard Goldenson, who is a director of Allied Stores, and the Advertising Council, and Bankers Trust. Other directors are Donald C. Cook, general partner of Lazard Free Rears Banking House, director of General Dynamics, and Amirada Hess, Leon Hess, chairman of Amirada Hess, John T. Connor, of the Goonlobe law firm Cravath, Swain and Moore, who was former AST. Secretary of Commerce 1965-67, chairman of Allied Chemical from 1969-79, director Chase Manhattan Bank, General Motors, Warner Lambert, and chairman of J. Henry Schroeder Bank, and Schroeder's Incorporated of London, Jack Hisman, vice chairman of Belden Hemingway, a large goods manufacturer which was founded by Samuel Hausmann of Austria, Thomas M. Musios, chairman of Allied Stores, director of Penn Central and Manufacturers Hanover Trust, one of the Rothschild banks in the United States, George B. Jenkins, chairman of Metropolitan Life, a J.P. Morgan firm, director of Citibank, which has many Rothschild connections, Street Regis Paper, Bethlehem Steel, and W.R. Graysco, Martin J. Schwab, chairman of United Manufacturers, and director of Manufacturers Hanover, a Rothschild bank, Norma T. Pace, who is also director of Sears Roebuck, Sperry, 3M and Vulcan, Alan Greenspan, consultant to the Federal Reserve Board, director of J.P. Morgan, Morgan Guarantee Trust, Hoover Institution, Time and General Foods, H. We also know that he now and has for quite a while, headed the Federal Reserve, Ulrich Haynes Jr., director of the Ford Foundation, Marine Midland Bank, which is owned by the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, Cummins Engine Co., and the Association of Black Ambassadors. Thus we see many J.P. Morgan and Rothschild associations among the directors of ABC, which was recently purchased by Capital Cities Communications Co., whose chairman is Texaco, whose most prominent director is Robert Roosa, senior partner of Brown Brothers Harriman, a firm with close ties to the Bank of England. Roosa headed the Roosa Brain Trust at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which produced Paul Volcker. Roosa and David Rockefeller were credited with selecting Volcker to be chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. John McKinley, chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, and Thomas Aquinas Vanderslice, who is chairman of the electronics firm GTE, and a former Fulbright scholar who is now trustee of the Aspen Institute of Humanistic Studies. Of the three major networks, CBS is the pillar of the establishment. Its financial expansion for years was directed by Brown Brothers Harriman, whose senior partner, Prescott Bush, was a longtime director of CBS. His son, George, later became vice president and president of the U.S. When General Westmoreland sought to recover damages from CBS for a vicious personal assault on his reputation, Westmoreland seemed certain to win a stunning victory, until CBS brought in former CIA officials who testified that Westmoreland's claims had no basis. George Bush was formerly head of the CIA. Westmoreland surrendered, and withdrew his suit. Ted Turner's expressed intention of buying control of CBS was applauded by millions of patriotic Americans, who had endured its vicious assaults on decent Americans with no means of protest. However, Turner's campaign was viewed in London as a direct attack on the power of the Bank of England and its American subsidiary, Brown Brothers Harriman. Turner was finally deterred from his goal by a clever maneuver which diverted him into purchasing MGM United Artists, one of whose directors is Alexander Haig, former White, 178, House intimate and Secretary of State, later chairman of United Technologies. Turner believed he was buying MGM's extensive library of films for his WTBS channel, but the Wall Street Journal later chortled that he had been tricked, and that most of the film library had been sold before he negotiated for MGM. To finance his purchase of MGM United Artists, Turner intended to borrow $515 billion through Drexel Burnham Lambert, the American branch of the bank Bruxelles Lambert, the Belgian branch of the Rothschild operations. CBS is a $4.5 billion a year operation, which banks through the Morgan Guarantee Trust Company. William S. Paley, heir to a cigar fortune, has been chairman of CBS for many years. To those who do not know of CBS' many CIA and British intelligence connections, he is supposed to run it as a one-man operation. Directors of CBS are Harold Brown, who was Secretary of the Air Force from 1965-69, Secretary of Defense from 1977-81, and is now Executive Director of the Trilateral Commission; Roswell Gilpatrick, who has been with the Goonlob law firm of Cravath, Swain and Moore since 1931, and served as director of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York from 1973-76, Henry B. Schnucht, Chairman Cummins Engine Co., Director of AT&T, Chase Manhattan Bank, Council on Foreign Relations, Brookings Institute and Committee for Economic Development; Michel C. Bergerac, Chairman Revlon, Director Manufacturers Hanover; James D. Wolfensohn, former head of J. Henry Schroeder Bank; Franklin A. Thomas, head of the Ford Foundation; Walter Cronkite, Newton DiMeo, director of RAND Corporation; Pan American, Foot, Cone and Building; Marietta Tree, director of Winston Churchill Foundation, Ditchley Foundation, U.S. Trust, and Salomon Brothers. She is a granddaughter of Endicott Peabody, founder of Groton, which trains America's elite. She married Ronald Tree, a high official of British intelligence, and godson of Marshall Field. She and her husband have an ancestral estate, Ditchley Park, to the Ditchley Foundation. Located near Cambridge, it was W. Averill Harriman's headquarters during World War II when he coordinated the partnership of Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, who actively disliked and distrusted each other. They usually checked with Harriman before agreeing to any action. The Ditchley Foundation serves as a conduit for instructions to many American groups from the Tavistock Institute, an arm of the British Army Institute for Psychological Warfare. Marietta Tree's career gave rise to the term beautiful people, to describe members of the glittering international set that represented the operations of the world order. She began working for Nelson Rockefeller in 1942, and later served as ambassador to the United Nations. One victim of the CIA British intelligence operations at CBS was Roger Mudd, generally considered the brightest star among television reporters. A direct descendant of Dr. Samuel Mudd, who spent years as a political prisoner after the Civil War, Roger Mudd had a brilliant 19-year career at CBS, but was passed over as a successor to Walter Cronkite in favor of Dan Rather. The excuse was that he was not vicious enough, but the real reason was that he had sandbagged his chances, according to the Wall Street Journal, in 1980 when he conducted a revealing interview with Teddy Kennedy which destroyed Kennedy's chances of being elected president. Because of continuous Tavistock Institute, British Army Institute of Psychological Warfare control over the major television networks in the United States, ABC, CBS, and NBC present many programs heavily slanted in favor of psychiatry. They also emphasize the current liberal preoccupation with racial integration, crippled persons, who represent less of a threat to the mauling parasites, sports programs, and jiggle shows, also known in the trade as TNA shows. Although the three networks are supposedly in bloodthirsty competition with each other, viewing of the daily news programs reveals that each of the competing networks shows exactly the same items of news each evening, usually in the same order. Almost all of the believed he was buying MGM's extensive library of films for his WTBS channel, but the Wall Street Journal later chortled that he had been tricked, and that most of the film library had been sold before he negotiated for MGM. To finance his purchase of MGM United Artists, Turner intended to borrow $515 billion through Drexel Burnham Lambert, the American branch of the bank Bruxelles Lambert, the Belgian branch of the Rothschild operations. CBS is a $4.5 billion a year operation, which banks through the Morgan Guarantee Trust Company. William S. Paley, heir to a cigar fortune, has been chairman of CBS for many years. To those who do not know of CBS' many CIA and British intelligence connections, he is supposed to run it as a one-man operation. Directors of CBS are Harold Brown, who was Secretary of the Air Force from 1965-69, Secretary of Defense from 1977-81, and is now Executive Director of the Trilateral Commission; Roswell Gilpatrick, who has been with the Goonlobe law firm of Cravath, Swain & Moore since 1931, and served as Director of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York from 1973-76, Henry B. Schnucht, Chairman Cummins Engine Co., Director of AT&T, Chase Manhattan Bank, Council on Foreign Relations, Brookings Institute and Committee for Economic Development; Michel C. Bergerac, Chairman Revlon, Director Manufacturers Hanover; James D. Wolfensohn, former head of J. Henry Schroeder Bank; Franklin A. Thomas, head of the Ford Foundation; Walter Cronkite, Newton DiMeo, director of RAND Corporation, Pan American, Foote, Cone and Belding; Marietta Tree, director of Winston Churchill Foundation, Ditchley Foundation, U.S. Trust, and Salomon Brothers. She is a granddaughter of Endicott Peabody, founder of Groton, which trains America's elite. She married Ronald Tree, a high official of British intelligence, and godson of Marshall Field. She and her husband have an ancestral estate, Ditchley Park, to the Ditchley Foundation. Located near Cambridge, it was W. Averill Harriman's headquarters during World War II when he coordinated the partnership of Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, who actively disliked and distrusted each other. They usually checked with Harriman before agreeing to any action. The Ditchley Foundation serves as a conduit for instructions to many American groups from the Tavistock Institute, an arm of the British Army Institute for Psychological Warfare. Marietta Tree's career gave rise to the term "beautiful people" to describe members of the glittering international set that represented the operations of the world order. She began working for Nelson Rockefeller in 1942, and later served as ambassador to the United Nations. One victim of the CIA British intelligence operations at CBS was Roger Mudd, generally considered the brightest star among television reporters. A direct descendant of Dr. Samuel Mudd, who spent years as a political prisoner after the Civil War, Roger Mudd had a brilliant 19-year career at CBS, but was passed over as a successor to Walter Cronkite in favor of Dan Rather. The excuse was that he was not vicious enough, but the real reason was that he had sandbagged his chances, according to the Wall Street Journal, in 1980 when he conducted a revealing interview with Teddy Kennedy which destroyed Kennedy's chances of being elected president. Because of continuous Tavistock Institute, British Army Institute of Psychological Warfare control over the major television networks in the United States, ABC, CBS, and NBC present many programs heavily slanted in favor of psychiatry. They also emphasize the current liberal preoccupation with racial integration. Almost all of their 179 news stories are propaganda items intended to further current world order goals. The only variations permitted in the iron control over network TV news is the final item, with as a human interest story. It usually praises a child who has collected considerable sums of money for UNICEF, or some other world order operation. For many months, the three independent networks have emphasized a hate campaign against South African on their evening news presentations. One could hardly believe that they are attempting to conquer South Africa for the world order, because the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers won control of the rich South African gold and diamond fields in the Boer War of 1899. Today, De Beers, the diamond monopoly, is operated by Oppenheimer and the Rothschilds, as is the gold mining, exemplified by their ownership of the giant Anglo-American Corporation of South Africa Limited. Apparently, the parasites would like to exterminate the Boer population of South Africa, which has lived there for three centuries, and replace it entirely with black workers. Some observers might call this genocide. Each evening the three networks outdo each other in their campaign of vilification of the white citizens of South Africa. The rioting and looting committed by the blacks, as well as the vicious murders of their fellow blacks, are glossed over by the news reports as inevitable results of white oppression. As usual, there is a more immediate benefit gained from this continuous propaganda barrage. The Rothschilds have profited enormously from currency speculations in the rand, that is the South African dollar. In a few months, they were able to drive the rand down from a value of $1.35, to 35 to 45 cents, selling short all the way. On September 2, 1985, they ran it back up a full 10 cents, from 35 to 45 cents. This might seem small change to non-investors, but it has paid off handsomely for the speculators. The fact that the network hate campaign continues unabated suggests that there is still plenty of money to be made in the rand. On July 31, 1985, the Chase Manhattan Bank announced it would not renew any loans to South Africa. Business Week, August 12, 1985, reported that this threw South African business into a panic. The bankers then demanded that South Africa give blacks the vote. Gavin Relly, chairman of the giant Oppenheimer Rothschild conglomerate, Anglo-American Corporation, tried to force Botha's government to accede to these demands. Botha refused. Relly then went to Zambia to negotiate with the communist-dominated African National Congress, preparatory to turning South Africa over to them. The similarity of the major networks' evening news programs has given rise to a report that, each day, a list of 10 or 12 acceptable news stories is prepared by British intelligence in London for the networks, teletyped to Washington, where the CIA routinely approves it, and is then delivered to the networks. The selectivity of the broadcasters has never been in doubt. Edith Efron, in the News Twisters, Manor Books, NY 1972, cites TV Guide's interview with David Brinkley, April 11, 1964, with Brinkley's declaration that news is what I say it is. It's something worth knowing by my standards. This was merely vainglorious boasting on Brinkley's part, as he merely reads the news stories previously selected for him. Efron concludes this important book, which was refused by all the major New York publishers, as follows: the networks actively slanted their opinion coverage in favor of the black militants and against U.S. policy on the Vietnam War. The networks largely avoided the issue of violent radicals. The networks actively favored the Democratic candidate, Hubert Humphrey, for president over his Republican opponent, Richard Nixon. Efron could not foresee in 1972 that, having lost the election to Nixon, the networks would engage in a successful bid to negate the election and drive him from the White House through their trumped-up Watergate campaign. It seems incredible that there are literally thousands of interesting and vital news items from all over the world available to the networks' evening news programs, and yet they are only variations permitted in the iron control over network TV news is the final item, with is a human interest story. It usually praises a child who has collected considerable sums of money for UNICEF, or some other world order operation. For many months, the three independent networks have emphasized a hate campaign against South African on their evening news presentations. One could hardly believe that they are attempting to conquer South Africa for the world order, because the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers won control of the rich South African gold and diamond fields in the Boer War of 1899. Today, De Beers, the diamond monopoly, is operated by Oppenheimer and the Rothschilds, as is the gold mining, exemplified by their ownership of the giant Anglo-American Corporation of South Africa Limited. Apparently, the parasites would like to exterminate the Boer population of South Africa, which has lived there for three centuries, and replace it entirely with black workers. Some observers might call this genocide. Each evening the three networks outdo each other in their campaign of vilification of the white citizens of South Africa. The rioting and looting committed by the blacks, as well as the vicious murders of their fellow blacks, are glossed over by the news reports as inevitable results of white oppression. As usual, there is a more immediate benefit gained from this continuous propaganda barrage. The Rothschilds have profited enormously from currency speculations in the rand, that is the South African dollar. In a few months, they were able to drive the rand down from a value of $1.35, to 35 to 45 cents, selling short all the way. On September 2, 1985, they ran it back up a full 10 cents, from 35 to 45 cents. This might seem small change to non-investors, but it has paid off handsomely for the speculators. The fact that the network hate campaign continues unabated suggests that there is still plenty of money to be made in the rand. On July 31, 1985, the Chase Manhattan Bank announced it would not renew any loans to South Africa. Business Week, August 12, 1985, reported that this threw South African business into a panic. The bankers then demanded that South Africa give blacks the vote. Gavin Relly, chairman of the giant Oppenheimer Rothschild conglomerate, Anglo-American Corporation, tried to force Botha's government to accede to these demands. Botha refused. Relly then went to Zambia to negotiate with the communist-dominated African National Congress, preparatory to turning South Africa over to them. The similarity of the major networks' evening news programs has given rise to a report that, each day, a list of 10 or 12 acceptable news stories is prepared by British intelligence in London for the networks, teletyped to Washington, where the CIA routinely approves it, and is then delivered to the networks. The selectivity of the broadcasters has never been in doubt. Edith Efron, in the News Twisters, Manor Books, NY 1972, cites TV Guide's interview with David Brinkley, April 11, 1964, with Brinkley's declaration that news is what I say it is. It's something worth knowing by my standards. This was merely vainglorious boasting on Brinkley's part, as he merely reads the news stories previously selected for him. Efron concludes this important book, which was refused by all the major New York publishers, as follows: the networks actively slanted their opinion coverage in favor of the black militants and against U.S. policy on the Vietnam War. The networks largely avoided the issue of violent radicals. The networks actively favored the Democratic candidate, Hubert Humphrey, for president over his Republican opponent, Richard Nixon. Efron could not foresee in 1972 that, having lost the election to Nixon, the networks would engage in a successful bid to negate the election and drive him from the White House through their trumped-up Watergate campaign. It seems incredible that there are literally thousands of interesting and vital news items from all over the world available to the network's evening news programs, and yet they are, 180, restricted to the 10 or 12 stories approved by London. The American public has known for years that something was amiss. As cable programs became available, there were mass defections from the network's propaganda vehicles. Some authorities report that the three networks have lost 40% of their viewing audience, although they are desperately trying to conceal this. If forced to revise their advertising rates accordingly to their actual viewing audience, they would be technically bankrupt, as their revenues would not cover operating expenses. Television is a medium of light. It is a reflection upon all of us that we have allowed it to be taken over by the forces of darkness. What had been taken from us can't be regained. Taxation is the medium by which the parasites maintain economic control over us because we refuse to admit the obvious fact that taxation is the price we pay for irresponsibility. We advise Americans to go to the United States Attorney and ask for an investigation of criminal syndicalism. We have exposed in great detail the interlocking Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation and Federal Reserve control of television and the goals of the world order which they espouse. There are adequate laws on the books which forbid all of these activities.